a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Folks, it is now official. For the first time since 2020, the Houston Rockets are playoff bound as they win their 50th game of the season in blowout fashion over the Utah Jazz, 143-105. They have clinched a top six playoff seed. Another box has been checked. There are still more to come.
Huzzah! And yes, Craig Ackerman, there are still more boxes to check off. First round playoff victory. Second round playoff victory. Western Conference Finals victory. NBA title. All of these are theoretical boxes that could be checked off. The next box to check off. And it will take only one Rockets win in their remaining five games, all of which are tough. It'll give them a top four seed in the Western Conference. Also, if they get some help from some of the other teams who are competing for the very many up in the air slots in the playoffs, then they theoretically could end up with a four seed and, best case scenario, end up as the number two going into the playoffs. In case you haven't been paying attention, the difference between the team in eighth place and the Rockets are currently the Western Conference's two seed. We're still talking about a just 5.5 game difference. Obviously, for most teams, there's 5-6 games left or so, but the Grizzlies are the eighth seed. They're just 5.5 back of Houston. The Lakers are 3 back. The Nuggets also 3 back. The Warriors are 5 back. The Timberwolves 5.5 back, as well as the Clippers and Grizzlies. Pretty crazy, the logjam that you have in the West after the Thunder, who have 14 more wins than any other team. They've won their last 11, by the way, and the Rockets will play them on Friday night. It's going to be really interesting to see how both teams handle it. I truly don't know how I would handle it if I'm the Thunder. I mean, 11 games in a row, that's pretty cool to have. Do you want to keep that up? Or do you say to yourself, all right, yeah, we've proven all we need to prove. This game against the Rockets on Friday night, especially if Dylan Brooks is ready to go, and we wish him the best as he tries to get the technical foul for kicking Colin Sexton in the nads in the first couple of minutes of yesterday's game. We hope that that gets turned to a flagrant, I guess. I don't know if they could do that so that he actually can play in that game and he doesn't get the one-game suspension for having 16 technical fouls on the season. But it will be very intriguing to see what happens tomorrow night between the Thunder and Rockets.
Yeah, Thunder played everybody, or at least all the big-time players, against the Pistons earlier this week. So, I mean, Caruso was the only one, but he was out with a left ankle injury. So, yeah, I mean, the Thunder definitely haven't been in fully foot off the gas mode, which kind of makes sense because they locked everything up, what, 5 games ago, mm-hmm. 6 games ago? So you can't really, like, take off an entire month at the end of the season.
No.
So it will be interesting. It looks like they do mostly the minute restrictions where guys only play, like, 30 minutes at most. How they're handling in this season. So I would kind of expect that against the Rockets.
For the Rockets, meanwhile, what do they do with Fred VanVleet, who didn't play last night? He's got knee and ankle soreness that he felt during the back-to-backs. You're not going to have any back-to-backs during the playoffs, so you would hope that will be less of an issue. That's fortunate, but
you even get a few days off in the first round.
He looked pretty crappy on the second night of that back-to-back. Hey, at least we have a built-in excuse now for VanVleet when he's missing wide-open shots all game long.
Yeah, pay no mind to the, whatever, 2-for-14 that he was against the Lakers. He was hurt. He was hurt, okay? Pay no mind.
Pay no mind. Magic number for the Rockets, 1 win for the 4 seed, 3 wins for the 3 seed, 4 wins for the 2 seed. It is pretty crazy that it's 4. It seems like that will take care of itself fairly quickly, though, just given if you take a look at where the Rockets are compared to the teams that are next up in the standings, as we talked about a moment ago. They do have 3 games in hand on all of those teams.
And the 3 seed, the Lakers, they play them. The 4 seed, the Nuggets, they play them.
Right.
The 5 seed, the Warriors, they play them.
So that helps those teams catch up.
It helps them catch up, or if the Rockets win, that magic number will go down very fast because they're getting 2 at a time, basically.
Houston, Texas. What a city. What a sports town. Maybe not the most diehard sports radio audience. It would be nice if they made gambling legal here to perhaps put a little pep in that step. But this is a city of division champions. It is impressive that the Rockets have won half of the Southwest Division titles since 2015. 2015, 2018, 2019, 2020, and 2025. So now with a 50-win season and their first playoff appearance since that pandemic season, they've got their 5th. Who else has won a lot of division titles of late? Well, if we're going to get technical, the Houston Cougars playing in the American Athletic Conference or in the Big 12, that's basically a division, right? And in the regular season, the Cougs have outright won their conference in 2019, 2020, 2022, 2023, 2024, and this year. And that's 6 of the last 7. The Houston Astros win a lot of divisions. 2017, 2018, 2019, pandemic, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024. They've won 7 of 8. And then you got the Houston Texans, who since 2011, the day that Paul Gallant arrived in Houston, have won 8 AFC South titles. 2011, 2012, 2015, 2016, 2018, 2019, 2023, 2024. This city wins division titles on a level that the rest of this country couldn't possibly comprehend. We win. You lose. Jealous much? You should be. A lot of people say it's actually about winning a championship every year. Well, how many teams win a championship every year? 1. That's it. How many teams win a division title every single season? Well, in baseball, 6. In the NFL, 8. In the NBA, 6. It ain't easy. And this city does it. Your city doesn't. Yeah. I'm talking to you. You're a loser. Because your city can't win division titles. No one holds a candle to Houston, at least as of late. Since 2011, and I'm not going to do the math for every other metropolitan area, but since 2011, I feel very confident saying that every single city / metropolitan area in the United States is envious of the amount of division titles that the city of Houston has won. Because if we're counting our beloved Cougs, we're talking about 26. Yeah, 26. We're like the New York Yankees. Except for we've seen all of these division titles in our lifetime. We've seen all these division titles in 15 years. 26 division titles in 15 years, guys, if we count conference championships in the regular season for college basketball. And we should. It's really impressive. So next time somebody from Dallas comes up to you and starts talking to us, hey, remember when we won the World Series? Hey, like the Cowboys, more people care about the Cowboys. We just traded for Joe Milton. The next time that somebody from Dallas tries to talk to you, just say, kiss my 26 division title banners. And guess what? Every Houston sports team, they should celebrate their division titles with a banner. Houston Texans do. The Rockets, they should. Do the Astros? They should. The Astros don't.
No, or do they do it outside now? I think they moved them.
They definitely do league championships, and they do World Series.
Yeah.
I have not, and again, every now and then I'm at Daikin Park. I've had a margarita, so perhaps I'm not as eyes like a hawk as I need to be. But I have yet to see the Astros honoring the many American League division titles that they've won. And it's been a lot.
Yeah. They used to have them all, like when it was NL Central division titles, they used to have them in the in left field next to the rest of them. But I think they moved them outside the stadium since they started winning the AL West every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the Rockets also do one big banner or one banner with all the years that they've won the Southwest Division. I think they do it like that, where they're, you know, 2025, 2020, 2019, however, whichever years they won. They win it so often, it's hard to keep track.
It's so hard to keep track.
Other than the, you know, those 5 years where they, 4 years where they tanked every year.
Someone texted in, look up San Antonio. I mean, look how many the Spurs have won. Oh, I'm sorry. We're talking about division titles. Okay? Division titles, that's the first thing you do. You win your division.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Spurs win the other six division titles possible since 2015? Doubtful.
No.
Doubtful. What if they did? That would suck.
They, no,
but they, I know they did.
They definitely didn't.
Didn't win last year.
They didn't win the year before either.
Yeah. Sucks to suck, San Antonio.
They haven't won it since Kawhi Leonard got traded.
Oh, we're San Antonio. Ooh, look at us. We don't even have a football team or baseball team. Ooh,
we're hosting the Final Four.
We're hosting the Final Four, but none of our teams will ever play there. We're San Antonio. The traffic through our city sucks. And Paul's never going to visit it again because he didn't like it that one time he drove through. Oh, we go to Riverwalk. Oh, a bunch of Texas soldiers died. And that's like, we honor that. That's one of our monuments.
They should do that, though. I'm being a total a-hole right there. I'm pro the Alamo. I'm not pro what happened at the Alamo.
Random Santa Ana defense by Paul. No.
Santa, but I mean, like, you know.
Hey, oh, never mind. I won.
Texas did win its division against
Mexico.
Mexico, right. Yeah. They did win their division.
They defended home field.
That's where it
they
started.
Defended they defended Daikin Park better than the Astros do.
Stop. Don't say that.
Yeah, well, they did.
Sam Houston beat Santa Ana because he knew he had to win his division. And that was the Republic of Texas at the time. From the 337, look up Los Angeles. I doubt. And I could be wrong.
I mean, the Dodgers win the West every year.
Yeah.
The Lakers probably have a few Pacifics in there, although
not as many as you would think. Because, I mean, they had to bring in LeBron to become relevant again.
Yeah. And even then, like, half the time they've been in, like, the play-in or five seed.
Couple of Rams division titles.
Yeah.
Chargers. I don't think the Chargers have won the AFC West.
Not recently.
It's all been Chiefs and Broncos, I feel like, for the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, since
years.
Like Marty Schottenheimer, North Turner.
Yeah, really. That's probably the last time. And they were in San Diego then, of course.
Yeah. Angels, no.
We don't count hockey because we don't have a hockey team. And the Angels definitely don't. Right. Here's the problem.
USC, nothing. UCLA, nothing.
You can't count.
Miss me with that.
The teams that have like 73s. The cities that have like 73 teams, sorry, you're disqualified from the conversation because it does not support our statistics.
Yeah.
I mean, it does not, it just looks jealous and petty, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and this LA Texts are jealous and petty.
Yeah. Don't miss me with the Long Beach State baseball division title. Miss me with that. I don't care that they've won the Big West.
Houston, Texas is a city of division champions. You wish you had what we have, bitch. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Hockley Dan says, Paul Gallant Show just won a division title. That's true. I mean, we generally beat the other shows in the ratings. So
in our
title.
Time division.
In our time division, we generally win. And by generally win, I mean we win. We really win. We win so much. Winning.
We're tired of winning.
We actually are a little tired of winning. Many people would argue that based off of some of the content on the show. We're so tired of winning. It's a burden.
We're trying not to win.
We're trying
we're
not
so
to
tired
win.
Of it.
We're trying to get draft position against the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul?
What's up, Paul?
Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
And don't forget, we're going to be out at River Ranch Dayton tomorrow. New community just northeast of Houston. We're going to be hanging out by the Angel Lagoon. White sand beaches. Turquoise water. I am truly intrigued to see what this looks like. And if the weather cooperates, your boy might be just coming out in a bathing suit. Do need to get that base tan. And I think we're going to be doing the show outside. So we'll see how that goes. I've always wanted to show off my pecs, you know, on the YouTube and on the Twitch. So we'll see if we're able to do that. But this community sounds pretty dope. Homes from the high 200s to the 500s. What if I offer $1? Do you think they'll think about it? $1 for a home out in Dayton? I don't think they'll do that.
Price is right. Like $1.
I might be moving to Dayton after tomorrow's show. So,
what if they're so impressed by your beach bot? They're like, please take a home.
We need you to be in the lagoon, dude. To
as close to the lagoon as possible, right, to move these houses.
We need to have an aesthetic. We need to have hoppy. Yeah. So maybe that'll be the case. But we're excited to get out there. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Also, Monday, we're going to be watching the national championship at FAO Houston, which is in Midtown. It's the same people who brought you Pub Fiction. It's right where Pub Fiction used to be. 20 TVs, rotating seasonal menu, classic cocktail specials. And it's got this nostalgic arcade bar feel. The inside of it looks really, really cool. And it's where Pub Fiction used to be. So that'll be cool, too. Anyway, guys, it's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text. And you can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. And you can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. The Houston Rockets are Southwestern Division champions. The Houston Astros are 2-4. But they're the reigning AL West champions. And the Houston Texans are AFC South champions. We never got to touch on this story. I'm glad that I don't work with kids sports. I've always thought I might be a good coach, but I've also thought to myself, even as a volunteer, the amount of bitching and moaning I'd have to deal with from parents wouldn't be worth it. It's the big obstacle in my way because I know myself and I wouldn't handle it well. I would probably say something mean to the parents back.
I was going
to
say, I think the coaching part, if you're the type of coach, football coaches want this a lot, like college coaches where they're like, hey, the boosters and stuff, just let me coach and get out of my way. I think that would be your stance with the, with the parents.
Right.
I think once the parents start meddling or if they say something to you, you'll snap back at them and they won't like that.
Right. So I am doing some coaching and I actually did some coaching last night. I am the one of the assistant coaches for the Blondes team in the Blondes versus Brunette annual flag football game, raises money for Alzheimer's. And I don't have to deal with any parents there. But if I did have to do some sort of coaching of kids, I feel like I'd deal with a lot of parents, and I don't think it would go so well. Well, I also don't think I'd be able to handle being the president of a Little League club. There's a Little League club in Houston called the Oak Dads Club, and the president, John Barcelo, he's out after $50,000 went missing. So he was an integral part of this organization per a write-up at ABC 13's website. He rose all the way up to president. And it's crazy that he rose all the way up to president. And I'm guessing, you know, Little League's not doing background checks on everybody that's involved. But This actually is pretty funny to me. In 2018, he was charged with felony theft, buying $294,000 of copper for his then employer, then scrapping it for cash. So apparently he conned his former employer out of more than $312,000. And now he's gone to a little league, and allegedly he's out as head of the Oak Dads Club after $50,000 went missing. And clearly they did no background check on him because he stole, allegedly, $312,000. He pled guilty to those charges in 2021. He was sentenced to 10 years of deferred education, which is basically probation. And his sentence was terminated early in 2024. So as soon as he knows he's in the clear,
boom,
with time the Oak to, Dads Club.
Time to get back to scamming.
Get back to scamming.
That's crazy. And wow. So I guess I don't know enough about Oak's Dads Club.
Oak's Dads Club was founded 70 years ago to get neighborhood kids, Sean, in Oak Forest, Timber Grove, and the surrounding areas together to play baseball.
Oh.
Now includes softball, soccer, and flag football.
Oh.
Everyone's a volunteer spending their own time and money to support their kids.
Then I think I was part of the Oak's Dads Club.
You think so?
10 years ago. Yeah, I played baseball at Timber Grove.
Wow.
Yeah. So he scammed
me. He might have scammed your parents.
Or people like me.
Right. Yeah.
That humanizes. That's messed up. And now, that's still $50,000. A lot of money. But I guess they have a bunch of different teams and stuff. They have so many teams for each age group. So I guess I can see how you get up to $50,000 from these people. But man,
so as of 10 days ago, when ABC 13 went to his home, no one answered the door. He's not facing any criminal charges, but he's out as president of the Oak's Dads Club.
How is he not facing criminal charges?
This is why. Attorneys with the Oak Dads Club, and I'm sure there's a lot of rich dads, are working to turn all documents over to Harris County's district attorney's office. Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, is $50,000 enough to get the Houston County district attorney's office to pay attention, given all that's going on in our city? I don't know.
But the thing is, all you need is a couple dads in high places that can get this going. I think you just need some people in the Harris County, whatever. You just need some people that know, that can pull some strings.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're making sure that they have all their ducks in a row to nail this guy.
This is my favorite part of the story, Sean. They are reworking their screening procedures.
Oh, yeah.
Something that wasn't an issue for 70 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the idea that somebody in a volunteer organization would steal $50,000 money is just not on anyone's mind.
And for, I don't know, 60 of those 70 years, they're probably like, there's not enough money to steal for a con man to make it worth it. But that's crazy.
That is nuts. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Our thoughts are with the Oak Dads Club.
Yeah. Shout out to the 2008 Brewers squad.
We hope
center fielder Sean Mapes.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Sean Mapes, you were a victim,
potentially, not really.
Of crime.
15 years before, yes.
Your league had money stolen from it.
Yeah, I helped build that league.
You did.
I helped build that league.
The division that Sean Mapes built. Were you ever a division champion?
No. We were a solid team, but not at the top.
Damn. Anyway, guys, it's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. Up next, how far is too far? Have you ever thought about transporting something in your buttocks? Well, that's been happening a lot in Texas this week. And a deal happened in baseball that has me wondering about some young Houston Astros players. How far away are the Astros from doing something like this? And did this team go too far? How far is too far? Next on the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Paul Gallant asks a simple question. How far is too far?
Yeah. We're definitely outside the box now, huh? You gotta ask yourself, How far are you willing to go?
You know what's really funny? We were talking about that situation with the Oak Dads Club in the last segment where the president of the Oaks Dads Club was kicked out after $50,000 went missing. I have received multiple texts with extra information about what's going on. This was a coup, but the parents, they went far enough. It wasn't too far. They went far enough. I guess there was a board that got ousted too. Wow.
Okay.
Because I guess the board fell asleep at the wheel because they didn't know $50,000 went missing.
They didn't know this convicted fraudster.
This happens a lot, I'm assuming, in all sorts of groups that involve volunteers because the HOA that everyone keeps trying to make me a president on at my condo, they had their own issue where a lot of money went missing too, which has involved several successful lawsuits against the same person over and over again. It's fascinating stuff. I don't know all the details. I just know I showed up once and they literally had popcorn for everybody, and I just sat back and I ate popcorn listening to a bunch of people from this community going after one another. So fraud happens.
Yeah.
And if you see fraud, stop it.
Yeah, if you're part of some sort of volunteer group or whatever, just invest in a background check.
Mm-hmm.
Just you probably won't find anything, but you might. You might find something.
Dot the I's.
Cross those T's.
Cross those T's, indeed. Is this too far? Would giving a guy in his second year a 9-year extension be too far? Because that's what these San Diego Padres do. I don't know how the Padres have as much money as they do. You don't think, like, money when you think of the San Diego Padres until recently, where they're giving out contracts to big-time players left and right.
Their owner was, like, on his deathbed.
Right.
And eventually did die. But he was like, I want a competitive team before I die, which is noble, but he also died. So I'm surprised.
Right.
They are spending this kind of money.
Because now after he died, they're still being competitive. Jackson Merrill and the Padres have a 9-year, $135 million contract extension, which can max out at $204 million with a $30 million club option for a 10th season that can convert to a player option. Is this too far? Is even thinking about a contract like this with Cam Smith too far? Yes. Is this too far, though, for a guy in his second year? I think it is. I think it's crazy. Now, I am a big believer that you start paying people early. I think we've seen from the Houston Texans that they're willing to pay players early, but the Texans have a lot of money. Money that I'm not sure that the Astros are willing to fool around with. And also the Astros, I mean, they give out some bad contracts, which hamstrings their ability to do something like this. But I like the idea of paying guys early. I just think after one season, this is way too early.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously depends on the guy, you know, Jackson Merrill.
He's a really good player.
Yeah, he had a good year last year. I know he was a top-rated prospect, so it's a little bit of, like, he had potential and he kind of delivered. But especially a sport like baseball where we've seen guys come out, you know, red hot, even to start their careers and past their rookie year. Like, you'll have, like, a Yasiel Puig come out of nowhere, be awesome, and then in 5 years be out of the league. That just happens more in baseball than in other sports. I think in football, paying guys early is smart. In baseball, I do think that there's some risk there because that's what the Astros did with John Singleton. He's like one of the shining examples of it going wrong.
Now, they didn't give as much money as Jackson Merrill just got.
Yeah, no. But that is, they still paid a guy before they had to.
This contract is also one where, hey, I mean, it's not like on an annual basis they're really going to be giving up that much because it's 9 years, $135 million. When you think about that, okay, what is that? Like about $15 million or so a year? Like it's not that much. It's actually very, very favorable for them. But it is interesting because you think about baseball players and the lifestyle that they live.
God, he's 21.
He's 21 years old and he's going to be making $15 million a year.
He's about to turn 22, but still.
I mean, for the first couple of years of his contract compared to other young baseball players, this guy is going to be able to live the life.
Yeah.
And if this contract is 9 to 10 years or so, when he's 30, which is when a lot of these guys finally do become available for that huge contract, he could be theoretically getting, what, 10, 11 years from now?
Yeah.
Are contracts going to be close to $1 billion by that moment in time? Like, I don't know. So It's interesting that they're doing this. I guess it is honestly a win-win situation for both Merrill and for the Padres. But at the same time, I look at this and I do think it's too far after just 1 year.
Yeah. I mean, again, for like a Carlos Correa would have been – actually, Carlos Correa would have been like borderline worth it because he did have some availability issues, you know. And George Springer, basically after he left the Astros, has kind of been a disappointment for the Blue Jays. So there are guys where even the guys you are, you know, you can look back with the hindsight, knowing it worked out, and you still probably wouldn't want to sign Correa or Springer to this kind of deal. You know, like Bregman, maybe. Bregman, if he would have signed him after his rookie year, I think he would have been fine with that if he would have gotten a 10-year deal. But for a lot of guys, like, again, in baseball, it's just so hard to predict. And never mind pitchers with, like, their arm exploding.
How far is too far continues. Is putting stuff in your butt to smuggle too far?
The depends answer, how much and what it is.
We have two stories about this in the great state of Texas.
Wow.
Texas Border Patrol finds a third pound of fentanyl hidden in the rectum of a border crosser. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers working at the international crossing in El Paso seized about one-third of a pound of fenty in the rectum of a 41-year-old male U.S. citizen pedestrian border crosser. The man arrived. A drug-sniffing dog searched the man, alerted to the presence of narcotics. They continued their inspection, and results suggested the man had drugs concealed in his anal cavity. The man would not consent to a medical exam designed to confirm the presence of a foreign object inside his body. Investigators arrived. Special agent obtained a search warrant. You got a search warrant for your butt? That's kind of funny.
I know. I also, like,
that's kind of funny.
This is where I go, can't you just wait them out?
Yeah.
It's coming out no matter what. Wait long enough.
You would think so. 0.31 pounds.
Oh.
That much. Eventually, he passed a bundle just before 2 p.m., so it did eventually come out.
Yeah, of course.
We also have another story, and this headline just makes me laugh. This is also, get this, at the U.S.-Mexico border in Texas. A U.S. citizen was charged with attempting to smuggle drugs across the Texas-Mexico burglar. Officers found two packages concealed between the man's buttocks. So it wasn't in his rectum.
Oh.
This was just in between his cheeks.
No.
He's been referred to as a cheeky smuggler, again, in El Paso.
Yeah, half measure. The other guy went committed to it.
I, you know what? In the rectum, too far. In the cheeks, I think that's not too far for me.
See,
I'm being paid to be a drug mule, you know, under risk of death or with lots of money, in the cheeks, I'm cool with that. Be an awkward walk, but yeah, all the way, hell no.
I mean,
especially with fentanyl,
all the way gives you a better shot, though. They're like, who's this guy waddling in? Stop him.
Apparently the waddling is not what got him. He tried crossing at 4 a.m. That probably is not going to help either.
No.
A drug-sniffing dog. These drug-sniffing dogs are really good at finding the narcotics. And they found it concealed, a third of a pound of meth concealed between his buttocks. So there you go. How far is too far? I think swallowing something in a bag that has fentanyl in it, hell to the no, meth in a bag between my buttocks cheeks.
See, I don't,
I'm okay with
I don't
that.
Think that's far enough.
That's as far as I'd be willing to go.
Oh, okay.
I'm only doing, you know, cheek carrying.
But if I'm the guy paying the smuggler, it's like, no, I want it all the way. Give me the deluxe package. What are we doing?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
Also, this does not seem like large enough amounts for it to be worth it. Worth the risk.
No, it does not. It does not. People are commenting on my pronunciation of El Paso. No, it's El Paso. It's not El Paso.
Yeah, like the sauce.
Yeah, old El Paso.
Paso.
It's Paso. It's not Paso. Come on. USA. USA. USA.
Yeah, wait. Can we just change it to the pass?
Yeah.
For renaming
the
things?
The pass.
It's the pass Texas.
It's the pass Texas. God. Freaking Mexico sympathizes. Yeah. How about you go over the wall we're about to build?
Yeah.
Oh, tell Saint
Do you
Ryan.
Know? Do you know where the Final Four is this year? It's in St. Anthony. All right.
I love that. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. One last story, and how far is too far? This is sad. I get why they're doing it. But for Shams Charania, did I say his name right?
Not really, but it's all right.
The NBA is looking into Memphis' Ja Morant using finger gun motions towards the Golden State Warriors bench on Monday night. That guy's obsessed with guns. You know what? Again, as someone who once told my mom and dad when they picked me up from Bible school that Bible school was too Jesus-y, I wish it was more weapon-y. Quote that actually happened. Like, I empathize with Ja Morant. As a youth, I was turning every stick that I found into a gun. But, Ja, sir, you had to go to rehab for too many videos posted to your Instagram Live of you flexing with a pistol. You know, it's a serious addiction. That's why he had to go to Florida to fight it. But, Ja, bro, I think it's too far that the NBA is doing an investigation into it. At the same time, Ja, this is too far. Like, anything involving guns that's on camera, you need to stop, even if it's finger guns.
Yeah, the NBA let him off with a warning this time. I kind of think that finger guns could be a good methadone, though, for Ja Morant. It's like, hey, listen, the, like, actual, you know, toting the steel on Instagram Live, like, that's bad. Don't do that. That is actual trouble, or at least asking for trouble. If you want to do finger guns as kind of a way to, like, to wean yourself off of it, it's you know, it is
a step in the right direction.
Patch. It's just a little bit, you know. Okay, we'll let you do finger guns. All right.
Are they going to let Shooter McGavin do finger guns in the Adam Sandler Happy Gilmore 2 movie?
I don't know.
Or is woke culture going to get in the way?
Yeah. Will Adam Sandler stand up
against finger gun violence?
Yeah.
No more finger guns in the NFL, by the way.
No more the finger under the nose either.
Mm-hmm. No more. And on that note, guys, it's the Paul Gallant Show. That's how far is too far every single Thursday at 2:30. We will not put it in the rectum, only in the Patak's cheeks. Don't isolate that. Up next, garbage time. Stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Last chance to dance, the Paul Gallant Show with Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5 tomorrow. Going out to Dayton, the River Ranch, Dayton. New community just outside of Houston. 16 model homes from the 200s to the 500s and the Angel Lagoon in the middle. White sand beaches and turquoise water. This is where I should have started my OnlyFans career. I should have done this because we're going to be out by the lagoon and maybe the pasty whiteness, it's going to be all out and about. We shall see. Got to figure out the camera setup when we're out there, but looking forward to that. It's going to be fun. We will be there until 6. Learn more at riverranchdayton.com. The way it's been described, I'm really excited to check out all this stuff. And I might take one of these model homes. Okay? Yeah. I get paid the big bucks.
Squatter's rights.
Well, hang on. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that to the fine folks. We're not going to do that to those guys. I would
never
squat.
Never leave? What if you just never leave?
Sean,
then
that's
what?
Too far.
Okay.
We just did How Far Is Too Far.
Okay.
I'm not going to squat at River Ranch Dayton. Okay? But we are excited to get out there.
How serious are you about getting home?
Okay. All right. I have a question before we get to garbage time. Astros are 2-4 to start the year. I mean, that would be good for first place in the American League Central. Or at least tied for first place. A 6-way tie in the American League Central.
We'd be popping champagne if we're in the AL Central 2-4.
Back in the good old days when the National League Central had six teams.
Yeah, why'd they put in this West?
Ugh. Yeah, I know. Anyway, they're 2-4. The offense has been just absolutely terrible.
It's early, Paul. God, you don't get it. Our Astros will show up. You're just being negative. I'm just pointing out stats, okay?
My question is, at what point do we press the reset button for the season like we did several times last year? And yeah, we killed the Astros too, but we also pressed the reset button after a slow start several times. It's a weird series against the Twins with a first game on Thursday, no game on Friday, and then games on Saturday and Sunday. That's a very bizarre way to do a series. Is something going on in Minnesota on Friday? Is there like a scheduled riot on Target or something? I don't know. But at what point do we think about pressing the reset button? Say these offensive struggles continue. 713-780-3776 to call to text. I'm debating doing it right now. 0-0 going into a series against the first place, at least based off of ESPN.com. Minnesota Twins? And Twins? Love pressing the reset button for the Astros and Twins.
And those Twins.
Those were some of our favorite memories of the Paul Gallant Show.
Yeah. What was that? I guess that was 2023.
Yeah. 2023. God, that was a while ago. That's a year and a half ago. That was fun. We just did that over and over again for what?
Five games of a baseball series? No, like, four.
Just like five entire shows just saying, ew, Twins.
I think one before and one after, too. It might have been almost 2 weeks of us just going, and those Twins.
Twins! And I guess this is another early afternoon game, too. This is bizarre. What is going on in Minnesota where this schedule is happening? Like, is there a purge or something tomorrow? Like, what the hell? Two afternoon games back-to-back is annoying.
I think they keep open days for in case like it snows or something in Minnesota. Like the
poor Carlos Correa. That is definitely it.
Do you know what the weather is for today?
I
think it's a high of like 42.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's still that cold?
Yeah. It's Minnesota.
Hang on a second. It's
cold in Minnesota.
That's true, but I guess it's only early April. But it's 88 degrees today. It's hot as balls right now. All right, let's see. Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's 43.
Oh!
High 44.
43? 43 when the game's over, possibly, if it ends at 6.
It's not going to get into the 50s the entire time they're there.
Dude, it's going to be 36 at midnight. Does it snow?
Yeah. Does Cam Smith own a jacket?
Do any of these guys own jackets? Yeah.
I imagine the guys that have had to go there before probably do. But, like, the rookies, like, DiCenzo is going to be like, what the hell is this?
I bet Carlos Correa, some of them have talked to Carlos Correa. They're hey, Carlos, do you have any extra mink coats that your wife isn't wearing that she got at the Mall of America? Do you have any extra?
Are you saying that Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa's wife wears the same size coat?
No,
what you're saying?
I'm assuming that, you know, that women don't wear, like, form-fitting fur coats.
Okay.
I'm assuming that fur coats are not supposed to be super tight.
I've only seen them in movies, and I think they normally, yes, they got some size to them.
Huh. Interesting. All right, guys, a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Desert Stroh brings up, this does not bode well for the offense.
God.
So yeah, maybe we press the reset button after this series in Minnesota, which doesn't count, just like the National League games don't count. If the Astros' offensive struggles continue.
If it's below freezing at any point while you're playing this game, doesn't count.
Apparently the Inter-Miami MLS team has a big dong. They have a security guard who is literally tasked with defending Lionel Messi.
I've seen this guy. Yeah.
He expressed frustration after he was told he's no longer allowed to protect Lionel Messi from the sidelines during Inter-Miami matches. He gained widespread recognition after social media videos showed him closely watching the crowd to stop pitch invaders from harming Messi. Said his bodyguard in an interview with House of Highlights, quote, "They don't allow me to be on the field anymore. I was in Europe for 7 years working for League One and the Champions League, and only six people invaded the pitch. I came to the USA, and in just 20 months, 16 people have already done so. There's a huge problem here. I'm not the problem. Let me help Messi." That is pretty crazy that there have been 16 people jumping onto the field in just 20 months. MLS security, step it up. And honestly, with how slow soccer games are from time to time, I mean, wouldn't this be awesome to have Lionel Messi's bodyguard bodying people from time to time?
Just part of the game. Just having this guy tackle some kid.
MLS soccer is not good. So at least we'll have some football on the sideline, potentially. If somebody tries to storm the field, we'll have this guy get out there. Per ESPN, it's a club decision, not Major League Soccer's decision, to remove him from the sideline. He is still an employee of Inter Miami. He's a part of the security detail. He's just not allowed on the field anymore. I think we got to let my guy, Yacine Chukwu, back on the field so we can body some douchebag protesters or some people who might come after Lionel Messi. I want to see people getting bodied.
Yeah, I've seen videos of him, and he literally will just walk down the sideline like with Messi, like parallel to Messi.
Hell yeah.
And so he just walks up and down.
He takes his job seriously. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
No, I like this guy.
More people need to take
as long as he didn't do anything like bad that made him get fired, which is possible.
Hopefully there's no snow out for Astros Twins today. Good God. And that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. Big thanks to everyone who listens, our callers, our texters, our Twitchers and YouTubers on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!